First reading comes from Psalm 107, verses 23 to 32. They who go down to the sea in ships, doing business in many waters, these see the deeds of Yahuwah and his wonders in the depths. And he says, and makes the wind of the tempest to stand, which makes high the waves thereof. They go up to the heavens, they go down to the abysses. Their soul is dissolved by evil. They reel and sway as one drunken, and all their wisdom is swallowed up. And they cry to Yahuwah in their adversity, and he brings them out of their anguish. And he raises the tempest to stillness. Its waves are hushed, and they are glad, for they are calm. And he leads them to the haven of their delight. Let them confess to Yahuwah his mercy and his wonders for the sons of man. And let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the seat of the elders. We read further from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. And again he began to teach by the sea, and a crowd of many was gathered together to him, so that he entered into a ship to sit in the sea. And all the crowd was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things in parables, and said to them in his teaching about a sower that went out to sow, and the parable of the tares. And with many such parables he spoke the word to them, and as they were able to hear. But without a parable spoke he not to them, and privately he expounded all things to his disciples. And he says to them in that day, when it was evening, let us pass over to the other side. And leaving the crowd, they took him as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other boats. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves were rushing into the ship, so that it was already full. And he was in the stern, sleeping on a pillow. And they awake him and say to him, Teacher, carest thou not that we perish? And being awoken, he rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Be silent, be speechless. And the wind quieted, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, Why are you so frightened? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared with a great fear, and said one to another, Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? We read further from the spiritual diary concerning the states of human minds, which are represented by changes which relate to the seasons, and also by rain and the morning, in number 196. Representations of spiritual things are very often presented by natural things, as by clouds of different density and color, and by fine weather, by tempests, winds, and calms, by hailstorms, and by various kinds of rain. And because they are representations of such things, comparisons of these same things are also very familiar. Very many things in spiritual matters now answer to them. And further, from the Apocalypse Explained, number 514. As all things in the Old Testament contain in themselves a spiritual sense, so do all things of the New Testament, which are in the Gospels and in the Apocalypse. Moreover, all the Lord's words and doings and miracles signify divine heavenly things, because the Lord spoke from the divine and did his works and miracles from the divine. Therefore, from things first through things last, and thus in fullness. From this it can be seen that the Lord's teaching from boats was significative, and also that it was significative that he chose certain of his disciples from boats while they were fishing, and that he walked upon the sea to the boat in which the disciples were, and thence also calmed the wind. Respecting the Lord's teaching from a boat, it is said in the Gospels that Jesus sat by the seaside, and there were gathered to him a great crowd, and he entered into the boat and sat, And the whole multitude stood on the beach, and he spoke to them of many things in parables. In all these particulars, that he sat by the seaside and on the shore of Gennesaret, and then that he entered into Simon's boat and taught the throng therefrom, there is a spiritual sense. This was done because the sea and the lake of Gennesaret signify, in reference to the Lord, the knowledges of good and truth in the whole complex. Simon's boat, the doctrinals of faith, and so his teaching from a boat signifies that it was from doctrine. Finally, we read concerning temptations in the New Jerusalem and its heavenly doctrine. Number 196. It is called spiritual temptation when truths of faith, which a man believes in his heart and according to which he loves to live, are assaulted within him, especially when the good of love in which he places his spiritual life is assaulted. Those assaults take place in various ways, as by an influx of scandals against truths and goods into the thoughts and the will, and also by continually drawing forth and bringing to remembrance of the evils that one has committed and of the falsities which he has thought, thus by an inundation of such things, and at the same time by an apparent shutting up of the interiors of the mind, and consequently of the communication with heaven, by which the capacity of thinking from his own faith and willing from his own love are intercepted. These things are effected by evil spirits who are present with man. And when they take place, they appear under the form of interior anxieties and pains of conscience. For they affect and torment a man's spiritual life, because he supposes that they proceed not from evil spirits, but from his own interiors. Man does not know that such assaults are from evil spirits, because he does not know that spirits are present with him, evil spirits in his evils and good spirits in his goods, and that they are in his thoughts and affections. These temptations are most grievous when they are accompanied by bodily pains, and still more so when those pains are of long continuance, and no deliverance is granted, even though the divine mercy is implored. Hence results despair, which is the end of temptation.